get references to Jesus as the Son of Man in Luke's Gospel, and this evening it's found in Luke and chapter 19. Luke 19, and I'll read verses 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, may God bless that reading of his word to our hearts. There may have been others not recorded for us in the word of God, but as far as we know, the last sinner who was saved by Jesus Christ before he went to the death of the cross was a man called Zacchaeus. Jesus, the Son of Man, was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was to pass through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. And that's where Zacchaeus, this man, was. In the previous chapter, Jesus taught how difficult it is for anyone to be saved, but especially those who are rich, but that with God, such is the power of God's saving grace, all things are possible. And Zacchaeus was a rich man. We're told he was the chief amongst the publicans. That's nothing to do with running a pub. My best man was a publican before he came to faith in Christ. But he used to always like to say, no, it was publicans, because he sort of thought he could relate to it. But it's a word that was used for the tax collectors, for Jews in Israel who worked for the Roman government as tax collectors, took taxes from their fellow people of Israel. They were hated people. They were despised people. They were looked upon as collaborators with Rome. And Zacchaeus was chief amongst them, we're told. So he would preside over other tax collectors. He would have been a particularly hated man amongst the Jews. But they wouldn't do anything to him, because they knew only too well the penalty the Romans would inflict upon anybody who hurt or killed a tax collector working for the Roman government. It was going to be an extreme penalty. So they were well protected, but they were enormously disliked. They received quite a good income from the Roman government for doing this work, which was so unpopular. And on top of that, they tended to bump up the taxes that were required by the Romans to be paid. So, for example, if you do modern money, if your tax from the Romans was £500, they would charge their fellow Israelites £600 and skim off the £100 on the top. So Zacchaeus, compared to his fellow Jews, was a wealthy man. He was quite a rich man. And like many we read of in the New Testament, Zacchaeus wasn't somebody you would imagine coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He seems a very unlikely person to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many of them. Think of Saul, a persecutor who hated Christians, despised Christians, and had Christians put in prison and put to death. Think of the Philippian jailer, who was probably a very hard, tough, blaspheming type of man who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or think of the influential Ethiopian treasurer who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read of the people that became believers in the Bible, it shows us how wrong we are putting people into boxes because of who they are and what they do. So certain people, who they are and what they do, we imagine are more likely to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But other people, because of who they are and what they do, we think they're very unlikely to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the end of the day, the reality is God saves whosoever he will. And it's not because of who somebody is and what somebody does that he either saves them or doesn't save them. It's according to the sovereign grace of Almighty God. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, you must realize God didn't save you because of any worthiness in you. On the contrary, you are so unworthy of his salvation. He didn't save you because of any merit in you. On the contrary, you're a sinner against God on innumerable occasions. He saved you as a result of his grace, his total, unmerited, undeserved favor to you, a lost sinner. Zacchaeus probably has heard quite a bit about the Lord Jesus Christ. Gradually over time, and it was only a short period when you think about it, Jesus' name spread. People passed on the news of the amazing miracles performed by this man, the teaching of this man. He taught as no other had taught, with such authority and such power. None had ever spoken like him. But he was particularly probably curious because he would have heard how Jesus had time for the tax collectors. He didn't hate the tax collectors like himself, which was very unusual amongst his fellow Jews. As I said, they were despised and hated. Most of the people of Israel wouldn't have anything to do with a tax collector. But he's probably heard how the Lord Jesus Christ had time for them. So he's curious to see Jesus. What kind of person is this who does miracles like this, who teaches like this, and who is so unlike his fellow Jews? He's got time for tax collectors like us. He doesn't seem to despise and hate us as the rest of the people of Israel do. God often uses things we would never imagine his providence to eventually bring a lost soul to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People's motives for being at meetings sometimes are not the most spiritual. For example, somebody could come along to a meeting. It's not because they want to hear the word of God. It's not because they've got a spiritual concern. It's because of the refreshments on offer. Or people may come along just out of sentimental tradition. We've always gone to a carol service, so we'll go to a carol service again. But even though the reasons why people may come under the sound of the gospel aren't particularly spiritual, God in his grace can overrule and use those particular events to work through his word in their hearts so they come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know really whether it was idle curiosity on Zacchaeus' part or something spiritually deeper. He may have heard that Jesus has the reputation of being the friend of publicans, the tax collectors, and sinners. It may be that he had a spiritual concern and he recognized he needed the help of Jesus. But it may have just been idle curiosity. I want to see this man who's done these miracles, and people are saying nobody ever taught like him. And he has time for the likes of me when everybody despises and hates us. Now, clearly, when Jesus arrives in Jericho, there's a vast crowd following him. And Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus. We're told he was a man of small stature. Clearly, he wasn't a very tall man. So if you're not at the front, those of you who aren't very tall, not particularly, but if you're not at the front in a crowd, very often you can't actually see what you want to see. And he was physically small, but he's going to soon become spiritually very big. You see, Zacchaeus, being small in size, he does what many people have done down through history. If somebody famous comes, the king or queen was visiting an area, or a football team comes back after winning a trophy, you have to find an elevated position. Get at the top of the steps, get on the roof. I've seen a lot of supporters in Merseyside, and they go up the lampposts. That's how they welcome the teams back. But they wouldn't be able to see otherwise. Zacchaeus, being small, clearly thinks to himself, where's an elevated position from where I could see Jesus? And he works out in his mind, I'll go ahead where Jesus will be passing by and climb up a tree so I can see Jesus passing by. So he climbs up a sycamore tree. He certainly didn't let his pride stop him from seeing Jesus. And I'm sure it was something surprising and rather amusing for people to see the chief of tax collectors, of all people, climbing up a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus, in fact, was able to do something in my life nobody else has ever done, as far as I know, and make me mum annoyed with me. Because my mum was soft with us, spoilt us, would never tell us off. And my mum and dad sent me down to the local Sunday school. My Sunday school teacher, when I was 7 and 8, and Jean will laugh when she finds out who it was a man called Tom Wally. He was the most amazing Scouser character you could ever imagine. He really was. He rode the bikes until his 90s, and he could hardly see a thing after he was 80. I mean, he was just sort of, and his wife was just as funny and just as daft. And I can well remember, we came to this particular week and he did a lesson on Zacchaeus, on Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. And he did have a way of putting things over that were quite exciting for children and interested for children. And I was fascinated by this particular lesson, more than I had been by any others, about this little man who climbed up a tree to see Jesus. And we used to sing, you know, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. Many of you know how it goes on from there. But in my fascination, when I went home, at the end, we lived in a council house, and at the end of our garden, there was a farm. It was a pig farm, of all things. And just at the end of our garden, we just had a little fence you could easily get through, there was a tree, an oak tree. And I went back that Sunday after hearing about Zacchaeus, and I thought to myself, never done it before, I thought, I'm going to climb the tree. So I started going, I got about two-thirds up the tree, and my mum came out, I was absolutely furious. She was frightened to death, I was going to hurt myself, and my dad laughed like mad. That was my dad, that sort of thing. He'd have done the same. But this account of Zacchaeus, you see, has always stuck in my head from a little child, because Zacchaeus was the man that managed to get my mum annoyed with me, which I can't remember ever being in the whole of my life. But climbing that tree, she wasn't so keen. And I continued to do it till I was about 13. When my dad said I couldn't climb the one at the front of the garden, that was about two houses up. So I was forbidden that particular tree. So Zacchaeus climbs this tree. And clearly, he's not afraid of being laughed at by the public. He wasn't going to be stopped because they were going to laugh at him, because he was determined to see Jesus. Many lost souls have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ because they've been afraid of people laughing at them, ridiculing them, pouring scorn upon them. It's kept them from coming to Christ. Just the fear of the way people may react to them coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, sadly, because others may laugh at them and ridicule them if they take a stand for the truth of God, have rather compromised rather than take the stand because they wanted to avoid people laughing at them or ridiculing them. As Jesus comes to where the tree is, with this vast crowd around, at last Zacchaeus can see this man he's heard so much about, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems almost just as Jesus gets into view, Zacchaeus gets the shock of his life because Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and he addresses him by name. And what's more, he tells him to come down from the tree because he must that very day abide in his house. It seems very likely Jesus had never met this man. But as the Son of Man, the one who was truly God and became truly man, of course Jesus knew everything about him, as he knows everything about every person. And how unsettling it would have been to Zacchaeus to realize somehow, in some way, this Jesus he's heard so much about knows all about him. A similar thing happened with Nathanael. He was amazed to realize that Jesus seemed to know all about him, though they'd never met. And the same thing happened with Saul. There he is on the way to Damascus, and Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So you can imagine the shock Zacchaeus had. You can imagine him in this tree thinking, "How on earth does Jesus know about me?" Have people in Jericho told him about me, the chief of the tax collectors? Have they put him off me? Have they given a bad report about me? How on earth does he know about me? Why must he abide in my house? And why did he have to abide in his house? It wasn't particularly because he was tired. It wasn't particularly because he was hungry. It wasn't particularly because it was thirsty. It was because Jesus came into the world to seek and to save lost sinners. And he was just about to seek and save this lost sinner, Zacchaeus. He was going to go into his house. Not only would he have the blessing of the presence of Jesus in his home, but it's not revealed to us. But I wonder what on earth Jesus told him. I wonder what Jesus said to him. Did Jesus tell Zacchaeus that he'd give his life a ransom for many? Did he tell him that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one could come to the Father but by him? Did he tell Zacchaeus that he that believes on him shall have everlasting life? We don't know. But when Jesus addressed Zacchaeus and told him to come down from the tree, called him to come down, we're told he did so immediately. And when Jesus, by his Spirit, through his word, speaks to a lost sinner, calling upon them to come to him for salvation, they should do it immediately. They shouldn't put it off, they shouldn't delay, they shouldn't find excuses for not doing, but they should immediately, with great joy, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, the people gathered around in the crowd are far from pleased. They murmur. They're upset. They're annoyed. Because here is this Jesus speaking in quite a positive way to a man they despise and hate. Here's Jesus inviting himself into the house of a man they despise and hate. They looked upon these tax collectors as great sinners. But they were totally blind to the fact, so were they. People today are very offended if you tell them they're a sinner against Almighty God. Because people generally think somebody who's a sinner against God is a particularly wicked, evil person. Somebody that's done something almost too appalling for words in life. But not the average person. No, it's somebody particularly evil. But God tells us a sinner is somebody who breaks his laws, breaks his commandments. A sinner is somebody who doesn't love God supremely and doesn't obey God perfectly. So we haven't told, we're not told what Jesus may have said to Zacchaeus in his house, but we are told what the outcome was, what the result of Jesus abiding in his house was. We see the effect of this upon this man, Zacchaeus. You see, we don't know what was said, but we do know he'd gone into the house of a sinner in Zacchaeus, and this man had become a saved sinner through Zacchaeus going into his house. Jesus tells us that. He says, salvation has come to this house, has come to Zacchaeus. Jesus is saying that Zacchaeus has repented and believed on me. It hadn't come to his house because he received Jesus into his house. It came to his house because Zacchaeus had received Jesus into his heart as his Lord and Savior. Zacchaeus had repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see some of the evidence of his repentance there in verse 8. It seems he was particularly convicted of the fact that he was a man really whose life was ruled by money. Getting more of it, being rich, and all you could do and have with the money that you got for yourself. And he seems to be convicted by that fact. So he says, half of my goods I will give to the poor. But not only is he convicted by the fact that really money had been his God, he is convicted by the fact that really he had cheated many people out of their money by imposing upon them higher taxes than were required. And remarkably, he says, what I've taken from them through these taxes wrongly, I'm going to give it back to them, but fourfold. That would have been quite an amount when you think about it. Four times what he cheated them of. So Zacchaeus, under the presence of Jesus, the Holy Son of God, the Son of Man, under the teaching of Jesus, clearly is convicted of his sin. He's a man that's laid up for himself treasure on earth. That was his God. That's what his life was about. And in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is convicted of his sin. So he's going to give half of what he has to the poor. And in the presence of Jesus, he's convicted of his stealing, the way he'd inflated people's taxes so they would pay more so he could skim off what was paid above the required price. And he says, I'll give them back four times what I had stolen from them. Quite remarkable when you think of it. Half to the poor, so he loses half of what he had. The half that's left, he's going to give four times as much as he'd taken wrongly from everyone through their taxes. Now, he doesn't do this to be saved. This was evidence that he had acknowledged his sin, that he wanted to turn from his sinful ways. It was evidence that he really had repented. He clearly had. But he also had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus, he says, is now a son of Abraham. Now, he's not saying by this that Zacchaeus is descended from Abraham, as all the people of Israel were. But he's saying by a son of Abraham, that he was a man like Abraham, who believed in God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham is described in Romans 4 and verse 11 as the father of all them that believe. Many people had physically been sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham, made up the population of Israel, but they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and were eternally lost. But all those like Abraham, whether Jew or Gentile, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, are saved. And we're told in Galatians 3, "Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham." All those like Abraham who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are looked upon spiritually as the sons and daughters of Abraham. They make up the true Israel of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here was repentance seen in action. Here is faith seen in the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ. His repentance, half of what I've got, I'm going to give to the poor. What I've taken wrongly by stealing, I'm going to give back fourfold. His faith, Jesus says, salvation has come to him. He is a true son of Abraham. And then Jesus makes clear the whole purpose of his coming into this world. What he had done with this one individual, Zacchaeus, a lost soul who he'd come to seek and save and had done so. He says, "That's my purpose. I, the Son of Man, the one who is truly God and truly man, came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to seek and save people who are lost in their sins, spiritually lost, apart from God, and who will be eternally lost under God's righteous punishment for all their sins. He didn't come into this world to be a great political leader. He didn't come into this world to be a remarkable teacher, which he was. He didn't come into this world to be a military commander. He didn't come into this world to be a glorious example, which he was. No, he tells us, "I, the Son of Man, I who am truly God, who has truly become man, have come into this world, have taken human nature, lived without sin, died on the cross, risen again from the dead, and on that cross received the penalty the sins of those who trust in me deserve, to seek and to save lost sinners." And that is what we all are. By nature, all of us are guilty, lost sinners, apart from God, and facing eternal loss. But God, in his amazing love, sent his Son, and he came into the world to seek and to save lost sinners. Can you sing before an all-knowing God, "I was lost, but Jesus found me"? Because if you can't, you're still lost. And you'll be eternally lost. You see, Christ, by his Spirit, through his word, calls upon us lost sinners to repent, to confess our sins to God, and wanting to be forgiven them and turn from them, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, a sinner. And all of us need, therefore, just as Zacchaeus did, to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We all, like Zacchaeus, need to receive him into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. When I was up that tree, I never saw Jesus, of course, passing by. But 9 years later, Jesus very much called to me by his Spirit, through his word, to repent and believe upon him. And I, a guilty, lost sinner, was saved and found. And that will be the testimony of many of you here at different ages, that you were lost souls, but though you were lost, Jesus found you. And you repented and believed upon him, and no longer spiritually lost, but at peace with Almighty God, in fellowship with Almighty God. No longer will be eternally lost, but rather eternally blessed with Christ, which is far, far better. This is the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world. The one who is the Son of Man, truly God, who became a true man, that in human flesh without sin, he would seek and save lost sinners by dying for their sins and rising again from the dead. And everybody who repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if that's you, you are one of the lost souls Jesus came into this world to seek and to save to the glory of Almighty God. And how thankful you ought to be. I'd have loved to have been given in God's word, but God doesn't do this for us with many people, to hear about Zacchaeus afterward. How did he get on? What did he do? How did he deal with the Roman authorities? We don't know. There are many like that in the Bible you can read of. You think of the Philippian jailer. You think of Lydia. We know a great deal about Saul when he was saved, what happened in the years following. But there are so many lost souls that Jesus sought and saved, and we don't know any more about them. But in a sense, we don't need to know any more. Sufficient to know that they were lost, but Jesus found them, found the sheep who'd gone astray, and saved them to the glory of Almighty God. So I hope you can sing before an all-knowing, seeing God, I was lost, but Jesus found me.